This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
He was the model of dedication to his messenger. He was a shoreless sea of sacrifice and brimming love. He was a man who preferred the health of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his well-being and his soul to his own. This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and nothing perhaps exemplifies what I just shared with you than the amazing scenes that emerged as he, Abu Bakr, accompanied the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during their migration from Mecca to Medina. You see, during times of ease, when one is comfortable at home, it's easy to claim love and loyalty. However, these claims are only truly substantiated and proven during times of difficulty and travel. We all have a mask that we hide behind. It veils certain aspects of our personality that we would rather not publicize. Traveling, however, causes these masks to slip away. On the road, your true level of iman and compliance with the sunnah, your temperament, these things are tested. The ideal conditions of home are absent. Whether we like it or not, our travel companions see us for who we truly are. Even linguistically, the Arabic word for safar, travel, means to reveal, to uncover, to remove something. For example, the Arabs, they called the brush that you used to sweep the floor with a misfara, a term derived from the same root because it removes the dust, it reveals the surface of the floor. And that's why the Arab linguists, they say, وَسُمِّيَ أَسَّفَرُ سَفَرًا لِأَنَّهُ يُسْفِرُ عَنْ وُجُوهِ الْمُسَافِرِينَ وَعَنْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ فَيَظْهَرْ مَا كَانَ خَافِيًا مِنْهَا. He said travel was given the Arabic name safar because it yusfiru, exposes, uncovers the true faces of the travelers and their personalities, revealing what is usually hidden by them. And it's for this reason why Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard a person praising another, he said to him, هَلْ أَنْتَ جَارُهُ الْأَدْنَى تَعْرِفُ مَسَاءَهُ وَصَبَاحَهُ. Are you his neighbor? So you know the mornings and the evenings of your neighbor? He said, no, I'm not. Umar asked him a second question. He said, هَلْ عَمَلْتَهُ فِي الدِّرْهَمِ وَالدِّينَارِ الَّذِي تُمْتَحَنُ بِهِمَا أَمَانَةُ النَّاسِ. Have you dealt with him, with the dinar and dirham? These are currencies that the Arabs used. Did you buy and sell with him? Which is the true benchmark to gauge the trustworthiness of people? The man said, no. Umar asked him a third question. He said, هَلْ رَفَقْتَهُ فِي السَّفَرِ الَّذِي يَنْكَشِفُ فِيهِ عَنْ أَخْلَاقِ النَّاسِ. Have you accompanied him during travel, which reveals the true traits of people? The man said, no, I haven't. Umar said to him, فَلَسْتَ تَعْرِفُهُ. So you don't really know him. Why are you praising him? You don't really know him. And in another narration, Umar said to him, لَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَهُ يَرْكَعَ رَكَعَةٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Perhaps you just saw him bowing and prostrating in the mosque. So you thought he is worthy of praise? This is not how you truly know someone. Traveling is one such way. And with all of this in mind, let us explore the narration of Abu Bakr himself as he described his journey to Medina with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The harsh conditions of this particular safar, travel, allowed the world to see Abu Bakr for who he truly was. And this journey was never going to be an easy endeavor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr battled against relentless hot winds and the arid deserts of Arabia with the pagans in pursuit. It was a life-threatening trip of exhaustion and pain and fear. But Abu Bakr's reaction, subhanallah, when hearing that he was chosen to accompany the Prophet was amazing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr, Allah has given me permission to leave Mecca. Abu Bakr's knee-jerk question, allow me to accompany you, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet, he said to him, you will be my companion. Our mother Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, she describes the reaction of her father, Abu Bakr. She said, فَوَاللَّهِ I swear, مَا شَعَرْتُ قَطْ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ أَنَّ أَحَدًا يَبْكِي مِنَ الْفَرَحِ. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ يَبْكِي يَوْمَئِذٍ. She said, I swear by my Lord, I never knew that it was possible for a person to cry from happiness only until I saw my dad crying on that day. I will be his companion during the migration. And Abu Bakr was once asked a question, tell me what happened on the night when you set on a journey with the Messenger of Allah. And he said, we set out during the night. And we went on walking until it was noon, and the path was vacant, so there were no passers-by. And we eventually saw a large rock which had shade beneath it, and the rays of sun did not reach that place, and so we dismounted there. And I went to the rock, and I leveled the ground with my hands at the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would rest. And I said, after setting the bedding, O Messenger of Allah, go to sleep, and I shall keep watch around for you. Abu Bakr, la ilaha illallah, you've also been traveling. You see, the thought of rest did not even cross his mind. For him, relief culminated in the resting of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He continues and he says, I went out and I watched around him. I saw a shepherd moving towards that rock with his flock. He was looking for shade as well. So I came up to him and I said, young boy, to which place do you belong? And he said, I am from Medina. I said, is there any milk in the udders of your sheep and goats? He said, yeah. So he took hold of a goat. And I said to him, i.e. Abu Bakr, he said to the young boy, clean the udder well, so that it should be clear and free from hair, dust and impurity. And he milked the goat for me in a wooden cup, Abu Bakr, he said, which he had with him. And I had with me a bucket in which I kept water for drinking and for performing wudu. I then came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I didn't want to wake him up from his sleep, but I found that he was already awake. And I continued pouring water upon the vessel of the milk until its bottom became cold. And then I said, O Messenger of Allah, please drink. O Messenger of Allah, please drink this milk. Abu Bakr, of course, was also thirsty. He's been traveling. Did he take a sip? No, he didn't touch it. That wouldn't be becoming of the behavior of a Siddiq. Instead, Abu Bakr, he said, as he saw the Prophet drinking, he said, فَشَرِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَتَّى رَضِيتُ. The Prophet drank until I became satisfied. Subhanallah. He didn't say he drank until he became satisfied. No, he drank until I became satisfied. As if merely knowing that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was drinking was sufficient to quench his own thirst and to relieve his parched throat. That's a true example of an individual who had dedicated his entire self to Allah and his Messenger alaihi salatu wasalam. As they traveled together, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed something peculiar in the behavior of Abu Bakr. At times he would walk in front of the Prophet, and then he would rush to the rear, and then he would do this over and over again. And it was a strange sight indeed, and after being asked why he was behaving like this, Abu Bakr, he said, Messenger of Allah, أَذْكُرُ الطَّلَبْ فَأَمْشِي خَلْفَكْ ثُمَّ أَذْكُرُ الرَّصْدْ فَأَمْشِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. Messenger of Allah, I walk behind you. Then I fear that someone could harm you from the front, so I rush to your front. Then I consider the possibility of you being struck from the rear, so I rush to the back. La ilaha illallah. It was almost as if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not acknowledge his own existence. It's as if his eyes could not see his own mirror reflection. It's as if his body did not acknowledge its own human needs in the presence of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They continued walking until they reached the cave of Thawr, where they camped. And Abu Bakr, he said, by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you will not enter the cave until I first go in and check it for any harm. That way any danger lurking inside would bite me before it reaches you. And Abu Bakr, he enters the cave and he patted its walls and scrutinized every corner. And he was content, except that there were three small openings in one of the walls of the cave, which he worried that some harmful creature might come from. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, having run out of equipment, material, he tore a part of his garment and he filled one of the openings with it. He then lay down and he extended his 2 feet into the remaining two openings in the wall, sealing them off. At this point, he called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in. And the Prophet placed his head on Abu Bakr's thigh and he fell asleep. Now picture the scene. Pause here for a moment, please. It is one which the companions reflected over frequently, one which they would never forget about. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he would cry profusely when he would remember this moment. And he would say, Wallahi la yawmin aw laylatin min Abi Bakrin khayrun min Umar wa Ali Umar min ladun wulidu. By Allah, a single day or a single night in the life of Abu Bakr is greater than Umar and the family of Umar from the day they were born. This is the night he is referring to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr spent 3 nights in the cave. However, it was by the decree of Allah that the pagans would catch up with them. They approached the very mouth of the cave, unbeknown to them, that they were inches away from the objects of their pursuit. Abu Bakr and the messenger were inside. Now Abu Bakr could see the feet of the pagans directly above their heads. He whispered into the ear of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, Ya Rasulullah, law anna ahadahum rafa'a qadamahu ra'ana. O Messenger of Allah, if any one of them was simply to raise his foot from the ground, he would see us. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was one of unshakable yaqeen, certainty in Allah, and trust, reliance upon him. And he said, Ya Aba Bakr, O Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnaini, Allahu thalithuhuma. O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two people when Allah Almighty is their third? لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be grieved, Allah is with us. Despite being so close, subhanAllah, it didn't occur to the minds of the pagans to look beneath their feet. And so they lost hope and they turned back and they made their way back to the city of Mecca. Now Allah revealed a verse from the Quran commenting on this tremendous incident. The scene that you just heard and the heartwarming conversation, Allah Almighty said, and I translate bit by bit, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ. If you don't aid the Prophet, then Allah has already aided him. إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. When those who disbelieved had driven him out of Mecca as one of two when they were in the cave. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. When he said to his companion, don't be grieved, Allah Almighty is with us. فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And so Allah Almighty sent down his tranquility upon him and he supported him with angels which you did not see. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَسْفُلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَى وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest, while the word of Allah Almighty is the highest, and Allah Almighty is mighty and wise. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was certainly not concerned for his own well-being. Such fear would run contrary to all of his actions so far. His apprehension, his fear, his anxiety was purely for the welfare of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is made so clear through the very wording of the verse that I just shared with you. If Abu Bakr was fearing for his own safety, the Prophet would have said to him, don't be grieved, Allah is with you. That's how you console someone who is afflicted with a difficulty. You say, Allah is with you. He will help you. Allah will cleanse your sins. Allah will raise your position. That's what we say. But if this difficulty had affected both of them, he would have been expected to say, Allah is with us. He will help us. Allah will cleanse our sins. So in the verse that you just heard, Allah Almighty says, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't be grieved. Allah is with us both. Additionally, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, by the way, don't be grieved in the Quran, it's always in the case of the best of people who are being addressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُنْ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Don't grieve over them and don't be distressed because of what they conspire. They wonder, how can the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reassure Abu Bakr from his fear? Why was he scared? I say to you, even the greatest of people were told in the Quran to not grieve. Allah said about the Prophet Lut that the angel said to him, لَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. Don't fear, don't grieve. Allah tells us that the Prophet Isa, who spoke to his mother as a baby, he said to his mother Maryam, أَلَّا تَحْزَنِي قَدْ جَعَلَ رَبُّكِ تَحْتَكِ سَرِيَّ. Don't grieve. Your Lord has provided beneath you a stream These are the greatest people. Allah tells us what He revealed to the mother of Prophet Musa. He said, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. If you fear for him, meaning your son, cast him into the river and don't fear and don't grieve. We will return him to you. And we're going to make him from the messengers. Do you see, it's the same theme. The greatest of people in the Quran are told, لا تحزن, لا تحزن, لا تحزني, don't grieve. Allah told us how the angels will address the people of piety when they are dying. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That those who indeed said, our Lord is Allah, and then they remained on a right course, the angels will descend upon them and they will say, don't fear and don't grieve. And we give you good news of paradise which you are promised. So what is the point of mentioning all of this? Those in the Quran who were told not to grieve included the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Lut, the mothers of Prophet Musa and Isa, and the people of steadfastness as they are passing away. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being told not to grieve doesn't highlight that he was, God forbid, what the enemies of Abu Bakr may say, but rather it highlights the fact that he too was amongst the best of creation.